Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is May 21, 2014, or the Zift 23, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Dwelling in Beulah Land. Oh, awake the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth be set on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of Yah's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me to Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Let the stormy breezes blow, their cry cannot alarm me. I am safely sheltered, here protected by Yah's hand. Here the sun is always shining, here there's naught can harm me. I am safe forever in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I'm dwelling in Beulah Land. Hearing here the works of Yah, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I learn of full salvation. Gladly will I tarry in Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain, underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I'm dwelling in Beulah Land. Part 3, Captivity and Restoration, Type and Antitype, by the Brother W. Johnson. We're going to do a little review. We're on page 15 of his track. We're going to do just a little review, where he says, number one, it's in 1833, William Miller was called to the prophetic office and given two prophetic messages. Under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, Daniel 8:14. And number two, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying, with a loud voice, fear Elohim, and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. By these prophetic messages, William Miller prepared antitypical Judah to obey the call made by the second angel to come out of Babylon in 1844. Let no one be deceived. The facts are too plain. Now, I want to put that into your mind right now that William Miller, when he announced the second angel, was to show, it says the work of the second angel was to show to the Advent host that Babylon had fallen. And as a large portion of them did not learn this fact until the power of the midnight cry waked them up just in time for them to make their escape from the churches, before the tenth day came on, it follows that the second angel brought us to the seventh month, 1844, word to the little flock, page 11:1. For the question now arises, who are the antitypical Israelites and where are they? This is a good question and it does demand a clarification. We do know that there are many unfulfilled prophecies concerning spiritual Israel as well as Israel after flesh and their return to their homeland to become one nation upon the mountains of Israel. Now this is where I left off on my last study right here. Now, as I understand, there was 50,000 people that came out of those fallen churches to follow William Miller in 1833. And Brother Johnson is going to tell you that those 50,000 came out of those fallen churches to follow the Adventists in 1844. And I don't believe that there's 50,000 that followed into the ninth hour with the Adventists and the little Advent band. I can stand corrected, but I'm going to do a little more research on that. But Brother Johnson is going to tell you that there was 50,000 strong that followed the Adventist into the third angel's message in 1844. Let us go on now with Brother Johnson's tract. We're on page 15. It said, these are end-time prophecies, or as the scriptures put it, the last or latter days. One would have to be willingly blind, brainwashed, misled, or deceived in order for him not to see and accept them. It's your funeral unless you get the eyesight found in Revelation 3:18. Once the antitypical Israel is developed, you will be able to understand these prophecies in their fullness. In the top, the restoration was only for Judah, who was in the Babylonian captivity. However, in the antitype, the restoration is for both Judah and Israel to be released from the spiritual Babylonian captivity. Their restoration is both sure and literal, as is pointed out in the foregoing prophecy. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will get you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I plead with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh, Ezekiel 20:33-38. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Ezekiel 36:24-28. Since this has never taken place, it shows that it is an event yet future. Thus it is self-evident that there are two gatherings of the Israel back into the land of Israel. The one in Ezekiel 20:33-38 is the gathering of the spiritual Israel, in which the rebels are purged out, leaving the church purified before going into the land. Okay, now where do you find the evidence for that? Ezekiel 20. And matter of fact, I'm going to turn to that right now and read it to you. Ezekiel 20, we'll start with verse about 31. For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourself with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I not be inquired of, O house of Israel, as I live, saith Yahweh? Elohim, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that you say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith Yahweh, Elohim, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out army and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yahweh Elohim. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, a Seventh-day Adventist church, and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me. Now he's talking directly to Gilead Center here in 2002. But pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For on mine holy mountain, that is the throne of David, house of David, this eternal, everlasting throne, in the mountain of the height of Israel. See, the house of David is the mountain of the Yahweh that's in the height of Israel. And you'll find that in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 prophecy for these last days, saith Yahweh Elohim. There shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblation with all your holy things. Okay. But he's going to do this purging out here in the wilderness here in Texas. This is where he's going to gather them out of all countries first to bring them here. And then he says they're going to purge them out from hence. And he said he's not going to just jerk them up and take them to Israel immediately as soon as he purges out the rebels. No, the rebels then have to have executive judgment passed on them, because not only are they purged out, but then they are also purged out of the land of Texas. Okay. And so this is the land where he says that they're going to all serve him in the land. In what land? This great nation of Texas. Okay? Because he's got to have a harvest of the whole Western Hemisphere first, bring them into the place where his kingdom is set up, and he's going to deal with them there. It's like Matthew 25:31-32 says he's going to do. He's going to, when the Son of Man comes on the throne of his glory and sits upon the throne of his glory, in Matthew 21 it says 31, then saith Yahshua unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is, I was in Matthew 26. Let's do Matthew 25. Let's do 31. when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay. So now he's going to gather them right here where he comes to his kingdom. His kingdom is set. Yahshua himself set up right here. And he's going to come here, then he's going to gather all nations here. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Then he's going to say, Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So inherit the kingdom. This kingdom is a purified kingdom, and this has its headquarters right here in Texas. And then after that, this is the judgment upon the United States, the earth and policy of the United States. This is Jeremiah 23, where it says, and I'll read it to you. Jeremiah 23, and we'll read verses 1 through 5 or 1 through 7. Jeremiah 23, 1 through 7. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yahweh. Says, woe be to those pastors. Well, Zechariah 13 says, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Well, Viti Halef represents the shepherd that was smitten in 1955. Ben Roden succeeded him. And Ben Roden succeeded in scattering the sheep of Davidia. As a matter of fact, Franz Halef, the wife, was the first one to start scattering the sheep by teaching false prophecy, and she wasn't even called to do that, but she did it anyway, and dissolved the headquarters here at Old Mount Carmel in 1959. And then it said Ben Roden took over from her, and he continued to scatter the sheep. And then Brother Johnson took over from Ben Roden in 1970, and he considered to scatter the sheep even more. And so that's who he's talking about. He said, woe be unto the pastures that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yahweh. Therefore thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, against the pastures that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yahweh. Well, Ben Roden sure had the evil of his doing visited upon him. I mean, if Yahweh cut him off and slew him, he died at the October 22nd, 1978. According to Ben Roden's own prophecy, that the false prophet would die that year at the atonement, and sure enough, he died. And then his wife died about 8 years later with breast cancer, so she was afflicted and died of a horrible disease. And then the son took over from Lois Roden there at the new Mount Carmel place where they established the headquarters. And he had a gun battle with an adversary that came in, David Koresh, and overthrew him. And then Buck Roden killed his best friend with a gun. And he got put in a correctional place. And he was so much trouble that the guards broke his neck and killed him and got rid of him in prison. And then David Koresh that had taken over the compound there at New Mount Carmel, he led an insurrection, and by 1993 he was burnt out to the ground. The government came out there and destroyed him with tanks and guns and fire, and burnt his place to the ground and killed everybody that was there on the property, about 80 some people, maybe about 83 or 84. And so that's how that pastor came to his end, Ben Roden. He wouldn't step down at the appointed time when he was admonished to in 1970. He wouldn't do it. And so he went on, and they corrupted themselves, and his wife became the female Holy Spirit and taught the female Holy Spirit, and the husband endorsed it, Ben Roden endorsed it, and they just went from bad to worse. And then Rhoda Johnson taking over from Ben Roden, he started out pretty good, restoring the sanctuary and everything, and then he went downhill. He prophesied that we would stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb in 1974 in Israel, and that didn't happen. But 10 years later, he's writing this tract that I'm reading from right now, and what happened. He's got two main points wrong in here in this tract, showing that 10 years after his false prophecy of 1974, Rhoda W. Johnson is trying to redeem himself with this tract, type and antitype, captivity and restoration tract. But it's chunk full of error, and I'm trying to straighten it out and show the people that are still bound by Gilead Center and Brother Stubbs Johnson's leadership. I'm trying to show them and trying to cause them to be delivered. So anyway, back to Jeremiah 23, it says in verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Those shepherds are 144,000, incidentally. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahweh. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. So David's throne has been around a long time. I'm going to read to you here in a minute there, and where it says David's throne began right there in 1 Kings, chapter 2, verse 12. It said, then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. Verse 24, now therefore as the Yahweh liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, and as he promised, Adonai shall be put to death this day. And 1 Kings 2:45, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Yahweh forever. Okay. And then it says in Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Yahshua of hosts shall perform this. Okay, Jeremiah 17:25. Then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and upon horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. Jeremiah 22:2. And say, hear the word of Yahweh, O King of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Verse 4, Jeremiah 22. For if you do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house, kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. Verse 30, this saith Yahweh, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Okay. So it says, Jeremiah 29:16, know that thus saith the Yahweh, of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are gone forth with you into captivity. Jeremiah 36:30, therefore thus saith the Yahweh of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night and to the frost. Now those evil kings that sit upon the throne of David, they were dispersed and they were taken away. Because David's throne is an everlasting throne. Okay. So anyway, that the point being made here is that Brother Johnson is going to tell you later on that there is no king sits upon a temporary throne here on earth. That's only Yahshua sits upon the everlasting throne. But he has to have a throne to come and sit on, and that throne is the everlasting throne of David, as we're going to prove to you later. But back to our reading here in Jeremiah 23:6, it says, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Yahshua of righteousness." Verse 7, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that they shall no more say, the Yahweh liveth which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Yahshua liveth which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Okay. So it says in verse 9, "And mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Yahweh," or the Yahshua, "and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of idolaters, for because of the swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith Yahweh. Wherefore their ways shall be unto me as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith Yahweh. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria," that's in your 10 tribes. "They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err." Okay. That was Ben Roden. He was in charge of the shepherd's rod from 1955 actually to 1970. And he was full of folly. And he was prophesying that he was the king over all 12 tribes of Israel, and that he was crowned such in 1970 as antitypical King David. But what did Ben Roden do? He prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. Brother Johnson succeeded Ben Roden. He also prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. So now we're going to get back to our reading here in Brother Johnson's tract. We're on page 16. It says, the one in Ezekiel 36:24-28 is the getting of fleshly Israel back into the land of Israel. And that would be fulfilling Jeremiah 33 then. Then they are purified. Well, they're gathered here in the wilderness of people here in Texas in Jeremiah 23, and they're purified before they enter into the land of Israel. Well, before the restoration of Judah and Israel after the flesh is also to meet fulfillment, as is pointed out in the prophecy, but only after the restoration and return of the Christian Israel unto her homeland. "And say unto them, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, will get them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall be no more two a nation, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." Okay, now, he says he's going to gather them and bring them back into their own land. Well, why is it that he's gathering 144,000 from all over the world, and he's going to bring them into the wilderness of the people here in Texas? Why is that in the heart of the United States? Because this is where the 144,000 originally were born, here in the United States. This is their homeland. Israel is not their homeland. That's the reason why they're gathered here. Okay? Let's go on. Ezekiel 37:21-22. These scriptures show the complete gathering and restoration of Israel, 12 tribes, back into their own land. Thus is seen the culmination of Christian Israel as foretold in the prophecy. Now back to the Antioch. First antitypical decree, and there followed another second angel saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, Revelation 14:8. Here is a striking similarity with the work of the second angel's message, Revelation 14:8. In 1844, and the work of Sardis in 535 B.C., let us compare Babylon. Babylon fell at the hand of Cyrus, and he made the first decree to rebuild the temple at Jerusalem with a call to captive Judah to return to Jerusalem. Thus 50,000 returned. These were the goodly remnant, about 50,000 strong, from among the Jews in the lands of the exile. Prophets and Kings 5:59. Likewise, also in 1844, spiritual Babylon fell, and 50,000 responded to the call to come out. Okay. In the summer of 1844, about 50,000 withdrew from the churches. Great Controversy, page 376. Now, I don't believe that this is correct. When William Miller started his movement in 1833, and he announced that the hour of his judgment has come in 1833. He was announcing the cleansing of the sanctuary and the 2300 day prophecy. He started prophesying in 1833 and teaching Daniel 8:14, the cleansing of the sanctuary. And he taught his version of the cleansing of the sanctuary for 10 years from 1833. And he said 50,000 people came out of those fallen churches whenever he taught his message and began to follow him, out of all those churches in 1833. He gathered about 50,000 for 10 years there. And then in 1844, whenever the prophecy didn't turn out the way William Miller prophesied it, they all thought they were going to go right straight to heaven in 1844 when Yeshua come. They were greatly disappointed, and so they all turned back. That whole 50,000 turned back, and William Miller and all, and went back to where they came from. William Miller just didn't do anything. He didn't accept the Advent ban. He didn't accept the three angels' messages. And his followers, there's no record showing whether they came into the Adventist church, and Adventist started off with 50,000 strong converts from the William Miller movement. Doesn't show this at all. If this is true, I've got to do more research, and I stand to be corrected if this is true. But Brother Johnson said that this is what happened, and my understanding all through the years has been that William Miller was the one that had the 50,000 for 10 years, and then they all gave it up. And Ellen G. White started off in 1844 with just a handful that came with her out of the Millerite movement. Let us go on. Therefore, the proclamation of the second angel's message in 1844 was the first antitypical decree to rebuild the temple, Christian Israel, the purified church, and to restore the heavenly sanctuary, the law. In the scriptures, the figure of the erection of a temple is frequently used to illustrate the building of the church. Zechariah refers to Yahshua as a branch that should build the temple of the Yahweh, Zechariah 6:12, Acts the Apostles 5:95. This temple is foretold in 1 Peter 2:5. He also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by the Yahshua Messiah. Okay, now what does it mean? Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Also is a conjunction. It means in addition to what's already been established. So in 1970, Gilead Center also was to be made up of lively stones and built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. That's the only section of the Adventist movement, the third section, Gilead Center, that was given commission and ordained to set up the spiritual house with the lively stones and holy priesthood. And that holy priesthood was teaching Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary as a ministering high priest in behalf of Gilead's center because she had restored all the sanctuary system, put it back into its rightful, restored true worship and put it back into its rightful order, fulfilling what Sister White had prophesied back in 1844 on, that after the 2300 days, that the sanctuary would be restored and put back in its rightful order. Willis Johnson was the one that restored it and put it back in its rightful order 126 years after the prophecy was made by Ellen White. So, when it says the temple is foretold in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as the lively stones, Gilead Center, are built up a spiritual house. Okay, the Adventist Church was built up a spiritual house. The Shepherd Rod were built up a spiritual house in their time, in their feeding pasture. You have three feeding pastures for the Adventists. You have three steps of the genuine movement for the Adventists, and that's Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, those three feeding pastures. Each one of those feeding pastures had their own present truth that they were built upon. And as the people occupied those individual feeding pastures, they were called lively stones. And they were building up the spiritual house step by step, step by step. And then when it comes to Gilead Center 1970, it says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And what is that house that that was Gilead Center was built up? It was the house of Esau. It wasn't the house of David. It was the house of Esau. And that's when he said to Verlis Johnson in 1970, ye also are as lively stones from the house of Esau that inherited the birthright to be the progenitor of the righteous line to raise up the 12 foundations and the 12 tribes of Israel and the 144,000 and the whole nine yards. Ye also are built up a spiritual house. And as he told King Saul, as Samuel told King Saul, if you had been obedient and obeyed Yahweh's voice, he would have established your kingdom forever. But because you didn't, then he's going to take your neighbors better than you are, and he's going to anoint him. I'm going to anoint him, and he's going to take your place, and he's going to, Yahweh's going to establish with him the everlasting, by an everlasting covenant, his house is going to be built up forever. His throne, his kingdom, not yours. So, Willis Johnson was appointed a temporal kingdom. That was an antitypical temporal kingdom of King Saul. Okay? And so now, that's reading it says in 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones, Gilead Center, are built up a spiritual house. The house of Esau is built up a spiritual house. And how long was that spiritual house built up? For 30 years. That's the length of the birthright. And you know, it may be that we may learn later on that those that inherit the birthright, they have to reach the age of 33 years, the same age that Yahshua reached when he was offered up as a sacrifice for the world. I'm not sure on that, but I do know 30 years is certainly the time that is given for someone to inherit the priesthood from his father's house. So anyway, it says the temple is foretold. This temple is foretold in 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, Gilead Center, house of Esau, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. And that holy priesthood simply means that Yahshua is the high priest that you are working with in the heavens. And so that would make it a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices, you're to offer up spiritual sacrifices to this holy priesthood, acceptable to Elohim by the Yahshua Messiah, says right here. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. So, the house of Esau, by giving the privilege to be the inheritor of his holy mountain and to be the progenitor of the righteous line and to carry it on and to establish Yahweh's kingdom forever. All he had to do is prove himself to be obedient to everything that heaven gave him to do, and his kingdom would have been established forever. Just like Samuel told King Saul, if you'd have been obedient from the start go, then Yahweh would establish your kingdom forever. Okay, he says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Yahshua, in whom ye also as are builded together for an habitation of Elohim through the Spirit, Ephesians 2:20-22. Revelation 7:1-8 shows that this spiritual house is the 144,000 taken from the 12 tribes of the Israel. Okay. And Revelation 14:4 points out that they are the first fruits of the harvest, Exodus 34:22. Reveals that they are wheat, and according to Matthew 13:24-30, they are separated from among the tares in the church. Okay. So since Rhodes Johnson broke the everlasting covenant and he was disobedient to heaven's commission to restore and to teach Yahweh's government faithfully and to be obedient to all the statutes and judgments and to follow the ordained system of true worship and teach it fervently to his congregation, because he failed to do this, then he ended up being the tares that had to be separated. And this prophecy that he made right here, that the 144,000 is his spiritual house that is made up, well, this is very true. It turned out to be that way. But in the beginning, it meant his house. And they are to be offered spiritually. Let's continue our reading. Speaking as the two wave loaves, the two houses of Israel at the Pentecost, the same as the 120 were offered on the day of the Pentecost in 31 A.D., when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the power by the Christian friends. You will not want to miss this glorious event. If you do, you will miss everything. Well, Brother Johnson missed out on that glorious event, and according to his own prophecy, he's missed everything, along with those that stayed with him when the judgment first started the house of Yahweh at Kermit, Texas, 2002. All those that stayed with him went down with him, went down with the ship. For the blame will be upon your own head. Be not deceived or misled. Follow the facts. Think. Well, this Brother Johnson should have followed his own advice right here. He'd still been here today if he had. In the face of these facts, there is only one thing left to do. That is, get with Elohim's movement, take your position as one of the antypical Israelites, become a part of the restoration in the antitype, as well as a fulfillment of the prophecies, help to make them a reality, for there is no future for the rejecters of these prophecies. We are nearing the end of the restoration, as will be seen as you continue reading this tract. You could have only moments to decide. Only Elohim knows. It is in his hand. Satan was very instrumental in turning the minds of the people through his human agent from Noah's message. Thus they were swept away in the waters of the flood, and so it has ever been. When Elohim sends his people a message, only those who went into the ark escaped Satan's deception. Just so will it be today. Only those who take hold of this restoration message will become a part of the everlasting kingdom of the David that is set up, shown by this little stone hewn on a mountain without hands in Daniel 2:44-45, and also Daniel 2:34-35. Brother Johnson goes on to say, the purified church, the little stone of Daniel 2:34-35, the ark of their safety, everyone that remains outside of this kingdom will be swept away by Satan and perish. It's your decision. Well, Brother Johnson proved that he stayed outside of that kingdom. And the facts have already shown where his whole organization was swept away, except those that Yahshua delivered out of the burning. And that's in Zechariah 3. And away from the Satan, it's your decision. Let me say this. Those who are trying to bring forth a temporal man enthroned kingdom, now he's directing his attacks toward Ben Roden. Ben Roden had already come to his end by 1978. Brother Johnson's writing this tract in 84. He's directing his attack toward his son that had succeeded his father Ben Roden and Lois Roden. He said, let me say this, those who are trying to bring forth the temporal man and throne kingdom, and there were other Davidian, splinter groups of Davidians also out there. There was Bingham there in Bastion Hill there in Missouri that claimed to have the throne set up in his place. So Brother Johnson was pointing his attention to all these Davidian groups that have gone off and set up their own kingdoms as being temporal. And they were. Kingdoms are misinformed and headed for a disaster, these temporal kingdoms. You well know what happened to the Jewish nation because they held on to their idea of a temporal man and throne kingdom on earth, and they rejected their true king, Yahshua, and the kingdom of heaven. They, in their theory, ended with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., for Yahshua tried to convince the Jews that neither he nor his father ever intended to set up a temporal kingdom on earth. So he's saying that never intended to. Well, this is true. Whenever the people asked for a king in Israel's day, Yahweh was against it. He told Samuel, he said, well, give him a king, but he says, I don't approve of it, but give him a king. They want a king, give him a king. And if he be obedient to all of my commands, told Samuel to go and anoint him, King Saul, then I will establish his kingdom forever. But if he don't, it'll be a temporal kingdom. Well, that's that same injunction was also given to Brother Stephen Johnson in 1970. His would be a temporal kingdom. It'd just be like King Saul. It'd be an antitypical King Saul's kingdom. If he'd be obedient, it'd stand forever. If not, it would be a temporal kingdom. So anyway, that's what Brother Johnson's kingdom ended up being. So here's another prophecy on this temporal kingdom that Brother Johnson was making. And it fell right on his head. For Brother Johnson, as we continue to read his writings now, it says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. And all the time Brother Johnson has been teaching, it's from 1970 to 1984 when he wrote this tract, that his kingdom was, that he was set up at Gilead Center, was this antitypical ark of safety, was this antitypical everlasting kingdom of heaven. Well, in a sense he was right. But then it turned out that Rollis Johnson was occupying a temporal kingdom, and all the time he was teaching the eternal kingdom, and so there's your conflict of interest. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? And then Yahshua answered, thou sayest that I am a king, unto this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, John 18:36-37. Thus we see that Yahshua came to break the false theories concerning a temporal earthly kingdom with a man as king that the Jews had established upon the Old Testament scriptures. Alright, let's see what the Old Testament scripture says about this kingdom. Now in Psalms 145:13, the first of six verses that contains information concerning the kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom, it says in Psalms 145:13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Okay. Well, what was the kingdom then here on earth that showed that this was the everlasting kingdom? It was the kingdom of David. Yahweh made it with him by a covenant. Daniel 4:3. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Okay. Well, how did he show his dominion? Through this kingdom of David. This everlasting kingdom of David. Daniel 7:27. and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So who is this going to be at the head of this kingdom here? That Daniel 7:27 is talking about here in the last day. It's going to be antithetical David. He's going to be in charge of the saints, the 144,000, and it says this kingdom and dominion and the greatness of this kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Okay. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Savior, and our Master and Savior Yeshua Messiah. Okay. Now Daniel 4:34 says, at the end of the days Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Daniel 7:14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, as his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So now this is the kingdom that Yahshua intended to set up, and did set up with his chosen ones that sit upon the throne of David in their time period. So it says, let's read this again. It says, thus we see that Yahshua came to break the false series concerning a temporal earthly kingdom with a man as king, that the Jews had established upon the Old Testament scriptures. This he did by calling out Christian Israel and establishing the apostolic church, the kingdom of earth the kingdom of Elohim on earth. Hence Elohim put Israel back under the heavenly king, which is the way it has been until the days of Samuel, when Israel asked for an earthly king. Since Yahshua did not take the throne as an earthly monarch, he showed heaven's disapproval of a temporal earthly kingdom with a man as king. The scriptures show no change. Now let's read 2 Samuel chapter 3. Let's start with verse 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon, and Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second Chileb, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmiah, king of Geshur, and the fourth Adonai, the son of Haggith, and the fifth Shephaliah, the son of Abital, and the sixth Ephraim, by Eglag, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ahijah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine? Verse 8, 2 Samuel chapter 3. Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth, and said, am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me this day with a fault concerning this woman? Verse 9. So do Elohim to Abner, and more also, except as Yahweh has sworn to David, even so I do unto him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Daniel unto Beersheba. Now, There it is, it translates. And then it says in 1 Kings 2:12, then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. And verse 24, now therefore the Yahweh hath liveth which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made a house as he promised, Adonai shall be put to death this day. Verse 45 of 1 Kings chapter 2. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Yahweh forever. Okay. And then it shows in Isaiah's prophecy of 9:7 where Yahshua comes and sits upon the throne. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Yahweh of Yahshua of hosts will perform it. Robertus Johnson was thoroughly incensed by Ben Roden setting himself up as King David in 1970. At the time that Ben Roden was to bring the rod to a close, and Robertus knew this, Robertus knew that he was to succeed Ben Roden in 1970. And so now Ben Roden established himself as antithetical King David, just incensed Robertus Johnson, and that's why he wrote this, to get revenge upon that idea and to temporarily put the rest this temporal throne here on earth. And he indicted the throne of David to prove that there was not to be a temporal throne. And yet the Bible has hundreds of verses supporting this eternal throne forever of David once it was set up. Solomon was the one that dedicated this throne after David's death forever. So it goes on to say, Brother Johnson says here on page 17, no matter how exact the Jews might be in their ceremonies and sacrifices, if they, Satan's agents, could keep their eyes blinded as to the prophecy and make them believe that it was a mighty worldly king who was to fulfill these prophecies, they would keep their minds on the stretch for a Messiah to come. One shepherd rod, 1 SG, page 36. By making this great mistake, the Jews created type, and so modern Judah will do the same thing and create an antitype. This, I'm sorry to say, is very much in the progress today. Thus, modern Israel is repeating the history of ancient Israel. Arise, shake off the shackles, and change the church's course. Question. If the Old Testament scriptures back the idea of a temporal earthly kingdom with a man as king, why is it that the angel of the Yahweh appeared unto Mary about 33 years before the Old Testament dispensation ended and spoke unto her and said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Yahshua. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, I want to say that the Old Testament does not back up a temporal kingdom. And as I just read to you earlier, where it says to translate the kingdom of Saul to the everlasting kingdom of David. And that King Saul was a temporal kingdom. And so the Old Testament proved that Yahweh didn't approve of no temporal kingdom here on earth. This brings us to close our studies to our contacts at the 11th. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. We're going to close the service now with a song. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua, my Savior, love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Yahshua came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Yahshua has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.